CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. How's everything looking? How's it going? How's it feeling? We're in level, what, 9,323.6 of level 5, of level 3, of a bit of level 2. It's, I mean, who even knows how to count these things anymore, right? What's the number? What level are we in now? Because Cyril keeps changing the rules.
We're still level 3. We only went 5, 4, 3.
Yeah, but I mean, level 3 now feels like the elements of level 4 and the elements of level 5. And
definitely. So this is level 3.0.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to everyone.
Can I just let out a response and then we can carry on with
go
everything
for it,
responsibly?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. And this is not Cyril's fault. This is the fault of COVID.
Damn it, man.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree. It's fault of COVID.
So what do you mean?
What do you mean first? Go on.
There are certain things that need to happen. Okay, number one. The re-banning of alcohol. You would expect a very different result or thought that I'm about to give to what you would have thought. That didn't make sense. Right. Anyway, you know what I mean.
So far, we're
thinking
what you thought.
Thank God you're not the president, because I would have been even more confused.
How much wine stock do I have? One bottle.
Oh, shit.
Am I perturbed by it? No. Reason being, I've been in hospital before as a result of alcohol-related trauma. I don't want to be that person taking up a bed. I also, when I need a bed because I'm sick, don't want people who've been drinking and driving and whatever taking up my hospital bed. Thank you very much. So I'm willing to actually be responsible in this one and teetotal it. I'm saying that's how I feel today. Maybe by this afternoon, I'll change my mind.
Yeah, I think you will.
I was going to say Friday, but Friday's too far. Yeah, this
you
afternoon.
See, the fact that you've lived up to now, I don't know how many times you've been in hospital for alcohol-related stuff. It's none of my business, but if it's more than once, okay. If it's more than 10 times, then you know you've got a serious problem. And if you're taking up hospital beds more than 10 times in your lifetime due to alcohol-related stuff, it's probably about time you die, because... No, because people like that don't normally live very long, right?
Yeah, but I don't want those people taking up my bed space.
You know what? As far as I can understand, COVID beds are not the same as trauma beds.
No, but they're still taking away staff. We're 12,000 staff short.
Yeah, well, medical don't worry. They'll hire some more Cubans because we can afford that. No, look, here's my problem. He starts last night, right? He goes on. First of all, he sounded really not great. He sounded like he was having breathing problems. This is the president.
Okay, did you also pick that up?
Yes, for
no,
sure.
No, guys.
And then he was struggling with some words.
Yeah.
Guys, do you know what pressure it is to stand up and give a speech like that and how long it is?
No, absolutely. I'm not disputing that. But I was just picking up that this is not the Tumamina man we've come to know. He was struggling to get through it yesterday.
I don't know. I didn't think so.
I think you're both right. Like, he's struggling hugely. The guy is totally out of his depth now. He's treading water. There's massive pressure on him. Don't think about just the pressure of having to deal with Corona, because all world leaders are doing that at the moment. But he's also dealing with a really shitty party that wants to use this opportunity to push him out.
Look, and then actually during his announcements yesterday, I felt slightly annoyed on his part. Now, Ramaphosa was around for years. He was there with Madiba and supporting and whatnot. So I think back in his mind for so many years, he did think, one day I want to be citizen number one. Imagine after, let's just say,
I don't think he wants to do this anymore.
imagine 26 years you are gunning for this position. You finally get it, and then you have this mess to deal with. Damn.
So I'd just like to point out that all those people who were so gung-ho Cyril, those public people, you know, like Stephen Kosseff of Investec, and we had Colin Coleman on, and a lot of other people who were like, yeah, Cyril, he's our man, you know, the Ramaphosa crew. I'd like to point out that many of them have left the country. They don't live here anymore.
Sure.
I'd like us to pay attention to the facts. I don't want us to take people and judge them by their words. I want to judge them by their actions. Those people
are something to think about.
So just think about that for a second, okay? Second of all, you've got this guy, and he's a billionaire. He wanted to be president because, you know, it looked good, and he was there as deputy during Zuma's time, and maybe he genuinely wanted to save the country from Zuma. And, I don't know. He stepped into the breach. Now, if he goes, we've got an even bigger shitstorm, because then we've got, like, Didi Mabuza and Ace Magashule and people like that who will absolutely rape the treasury. So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because we've got this really weak person as a president, but there are even worse people, hyenas in the wings, who are waiting to take over. The only hope for this country is that the ANC loses this next election horribly. And don't give me that shit about, oh, stability, and, oh, you know, it could go to the EFF and all that stuff. I do not see any shred of capability left in this ANC. And it really bothers me. Like, I don't know what the answers are. And then I see this guy on TV, and he's like, he's going back to prohibition. And now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not traveling around after 9 o'clock at night. I don't think I've done that once since lockdown came in. So even when there wasn't a curfew, I wasn't driving around the country, okay? I don't necessarily need alcohol. I have a little bit left. I've got some stocks, but I'm not sitting there drinking, and I don't have the desire for it that most people do. So I can do fine without alcohol. I'm with Leanne on that front too. I haven't used up a hospital bed. I'm not going to. I'm also not going to go for tests if I'm COVID positive or if I think I am. I'm not going anywhere near any of those places, because I think that that's exactly where it starts to become problematic. So I'm going to be as little of a problem to the rest of South Africa as I could possibly be. And if that means I have to, you know, teetotal it like Leanne says, that's fine. Easy to do. For me. I know it's not easy for everyone else. For me, it's easy. But what I really have a problem with is that this government just makes – he goes on TV, this president, willy-nilly and makes rules. He sits with his National Coronavirus Command Council, and they go, I think we need to ban alcohol. They decide among themselves, and that's it. Then your right to do what you want is gone. Then he says, well, curfew, and you can't visit your family. Gone. Bullshit. You do not get to decide for free people in a free country whether they can see their mother and father or their brother and sister or their children. You don't get to do that. And any government that tries to do that to you, even if they say it's for health reasons, is a tyrannical state that is trying to control your behavior. You do not prevent the citizens of any free country from seeing the people they love or from making decisions as to whether they'll see the people they love or not. In other words, if Sia wants to see his parents, as, by the way, he did under Level 5 because he was living in Durban, he should be allowed to do that whenever he pleases. Government has no right to come between you and your family, ever, for any reason. I don't care if it's the most virulent, dangerous disease. If Ebola breaks out, they can't stop you from seeing your family. It's just nonsense. It's absolute bullshit that they've banned alcohol and cigarette sales because they say it's for your health. Now, if a bunch of people can't behave themselves and they drive drunk and they end up in hospital, and we have alcohol-related injuries and alcohol-related trauma and death, that's because of irresponsible people. It is not the government's job. In fact, that's why hospitals exist, is for things like that. They don't exist for the COVID outbreak. Otherwise, we would have been ready, right? And we would have had a brilliant health system that was able to accommodate all these people. But it's because of government's dereliction of duty in our health services. And he goes on TV and he blames us, the people of this country. He gives us a lecture on how we should behave. There is no president in the world that took to television to take it out on his own people because his government's so incompetent that they couldn't get things ready. The whole point of lockdown, Mr. President, was that we were waiting for you to fix the health service. We all stayed at home. We all sacrificed our jobs, our incomes, sacrificed seeing our family and our loved ones, all that stuff you said in the preamble last night. We did that so that you guys could get your shit together and you would stop this country from descending into a health hellhole. But guess what? Nothing's been done. You keep talking about the NIH. Oh, now we got to pay some more over to you to mismanage. It is because of your incompetence as a government that we are stuck with a situation where we have 12,000 less health workers than we need, that we have less hospital beds than we need, and that people who have genuine problems, maybe not because of alcohol-related issues, maybe because they're dying of cancer and need treatment, are going to take up hospital beds. Your incompetence, sir, has got us to this point, and it is your fault that the people of this country are now going to be stuck at home for longer. Your fault, your Minister of Health, your government, your mismanagement of our finances, yours. Yours and the administration that you were a deputy president in before this one. Those 10 wasted years you talk about so glibly as if you weren't there. Not the people of this country. And don't you blame a bunch of maniacs who are out there drinking every night. Because of course they're going to do that. They're going to find ways to do that now as well. You really think you're going to stop that? Leanne may teetotal, but do you think those irresponsible people who end up in hospital are going to not end up in hospital now? They're going to be drinking even worse shit than this. They're going to be making stuff at home. I'm furious because this is just another example of how this government has no respect for the people of this country. They try to assign blame for this crisis on us as if it's our fault that there's a problem, and it isn't. And the lockdown is not there to stop the spread of a disease. The lockdown is there to help you get ready for the spread of that disease.
As they've admitted themselves.
Right, so stop trying to blame the people of this country. And a couple of drunks who end up in hospital, even if it's a couple of thousand drunks, are going to be irresponsible anyway. You really think your lockdown's going to change their behavior? Please.
It did, though, statistically.
It did not. Those people probably just died somewhere else. And then they called it a COVID death. Oh, come on. Don't let this guy get off scot-free, and I get that he's on TV.
No, I mean, I get your points.
I see that he's exhausted. I see that he's looking weak and pathetic, but he is a weak and pathetic leader. Let's not call this what it is not. Just madness. I've had enough. It doesn't affect me. Again, I don't care. Lock me down for the rest of my life. We can operate this show. Stop alcohol forever. Prohibition style, USA. I don't care. It's not going to bother me. But it's going to bother the hell out of the rest of this population. And they're going to be people making dangerous things at home.
And things are still going to go wrong. You see, I think if we really looked at the numbers, when it comes to, you know, hospital beds, because that's a big cry of how much, you know, alcohol depends on stress.
I want to see those figures because I've spoken to doctors. Right. And I've spoken to people. I know someone at the mortuary. Okay. The mortuary. That's where they take in the dead bodies. I said, Tim, what are the numbers looking like? He said, no, we're not overcapacitated. Now, explain that to me. Show me the numbers. I want to see those case files. How about that? Give us some evidence, Mr. President, because it sounds to me like you're just playing for time.
Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital in Soweto just released numbers for June. Mm-hmm. And they said that they have treated close to 3,000 patients in their trauma unit during June alone. But they're breaking it down. It's specifically 2,730 patients. But specifically, they say these are cases of gunshots, stabbings, motor vehicle accidents, burns, falls, cuts, and other trauma.
So that's why we have hospitals for those things.
And yes, you can say, you know, alcohol could play a part or probably did play a part in all of this, in some of this, but not all of this. There'll still be accidents and shit.
Well, exactly. I mean, people are going to hurt themselves and people are going to do terrible, stupid things. That's just going to happen. I don't think there's been an uptick in that. Please don't let these guys talk shit to you and confuse you. You can look for the facts yourself. Look at Sia. He found the stats on what Chris Honeyberg wanted saying. Now, I don't know if 3,000 is a lot for a month of June. It sounds to me like that's fairly average. It sounds like that would be any other month of any other year.
And Gareth, I think I am somewhat between you and Leanne here. I personally felt like I trust you as a leader, or I'm trying to trust you, but I don't feel like I am getting well off in this relationship. I felt like the carpet was pulled under my feet, and so mm-hmm. I'm going, wait a minute, I'm abiding by the rules. Mm-hmm. I am sitting at home. I am here following what you have set out.
And then you get this guy on TV telling you you've been bad. Excuse me.
I don't feel like you're taking me into account. Really, it seems like a small thing to others, but I just felt like...
Leanne, have you been having drunken parties and passing...
Definitely not.
passing COVID around to people and drinking yourself into stupor?
Definitely not, but I'll tell you one thing. Yesterday, I have decided to not go to the shops, etc. again. That's just, you know, my personal decision.
Home deliveries.
Yeah, home deliveries, as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I went to, as a Kazanti, you know, I went to go and visit little Jack yesterday.
I'm sad Kanti didn't stick. But as you were.
And I ended up having to go to two shops because I promised to bring over some food. Uh-huh. And I got there and I felt as if I was covered in germs. And here was this tiny baby, even though they're resilient, you still have this weird sensation. It just doesn't feel right. Went and washed my hands and did what I could. And then there were two other people there as well, also family. So there were six of us in total. And I actually did feel a little bit uncomfortable, I must admit, because, you know, one of the family members is working in a public facility. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the other for a long time. I don't know where they've been. I've just come back from COVID-laced queues, and I felt uncomfortable. So I felt a sense of relief when there was some guidance as to say family visits should stop. Mm. It was like, you know, and then a friend of mine phoned me and said her son who wanted to have a party, he's in his late teens, and he wanted to have six people over for a braai and drinks on the patio, and she wasn't comfortable about this.
Yeah.
And now with our president saying what he did, she was able to say no. So rules are rules. She didn't want all these strange kids in her house where she doesn't know where the controls are. So it just feels like it gives you a bit of guidance and help when you're in situations where you feel uncomfortable saying, no, guys, I don't think I should be doing this.
And then you are, it's your liberty to decide that, but also don't completely take that away from every single person.
Yeah, no, I get that.
On the flip side, I haven't seen anyone at all. And now I just feel like we've all taken seven steps back.
You are responsible for you. I remember it was Unati Kwaza who said on the TV show with me in that second week we were doing the TV show. She said, government is not responsible for your health. They're not. You put yourself at risk. You go outside when it's cold. You eat stuff that makes you fat. You don't exercise. You expose yourself to potentially harmful situations.
Or you just expose yourself in the cold.
Expose yourself. You have unprotected sex with someone who you shouldn't. Those are all your decisions. And you cannot have government holding your hand every step of the way through your life unless you're a person who needs a curator your whole life. You know, like you're mentally or physically disabled to the point where you actually can't do anything without someone else holding your hand. And if you do want government as a part of your life, you go ahead and go and live in a place like, you know, the Soviet Union pre-1989, or you go and live in Cuba or anywhere where these totalitarian dictatorial governments are in charge of every aspect of your life. You go and live there because it's pleasant. I mean, it's great. The people just love living there and they can't wait to stay another day. I'm being sarcastic, of course, because everyone wants to leave countries like that. Or you take responsibility for yourself. And this is something we've always been, I know I've been 100% consistent on this. You are responsible for your decisions. You make a good decision, you get the benefits of that. You make a bad decision, you get the consequences. That's all there is to it. And I don't buy this argument that because there are irresponsible people in our society, that the rest of us have to pick up the slack for them. I'm sorry, that's not how it should work. It is not my, I'm not responsible for Leanne or Sia's health.
In this case, you kind of do wish there was a Santa Claus watching whether you've been good or bad.
Whoa.
And then meter out
anyway.
I mean, restrictions accordingly.
It just really feels like we've taken a couple of steps backwards here, and I thought we were progressing forward, and I understand governments are just, they're lost, they're confused, they have no idea what to do, they're hopeless at everything they've ever done. Hopeless. So I'm not surprised that we're now going back to, you know, a ban on alcohol, a curfew comes into play, and thank God he hasn't gone backwards in terms of shutting down certain businesses. And we have to wear masks, so, you know, big deal. If that's the price we have to pay for being able to live.
Last and meek point from me, just give us a day to have gone and stocked up booze.
Nah.
Is that too much to ask?
I think it would... Again, I agree. I don't necessarily agree with the ban entirely, but I do agree on springing it on us, because the panic buying would have created situations where there are just too many people in one place at once. There's alcohol involved. And
you know how many? You know
messy.
How many shops have probably? We'll find out today. But you know how many liquor stores have probably robbed last night?
100%. I know of people who
you get people
run
no warning
facilities.
You go on TV on a Sunday night without any warning, and people who own liquor stores suddenly have to spring to action at 9 o'clock at night or whatever time he finished, and go and find ways of securing their premises because they know they're going to be hit by thieves. You know how irresponsible that is as a government. You're putting people in direct danger. You talk about trauma and filling up hospitals. Because of that decision, which you announce on television like you're some kind of celebrity, you put people in direct danger. We'll see the statistics today. You watch.
Yeah. I think we've got quite a good case study with Sweden. We spoke about them right in the beginning of lockdown, where they took a unique approach by not enforcing lockdown. Schools stayed open, restaurants and bars stayed open, and it seemed to be working in the beginning. And now they are in trouble compared to their neighboring countries.
Well, I've read reports that are exactly to the contrary. That
really?
Yeah, that while Sweden is having a large number of current deaths, this is this is what's going to happen because of COVID. This is not about government. But the COVID part of it is that they're going to develop some kind of herd immunity as a result. So they'll be much less vulnerable by September.
Let's
that
see.
COVID again. Shit, I better call government because I don't know what to do when I'm sick. I better call government.
So, Gareth, you brought up something in passing a little earlier, and I think it's an interesting thing to discuss. So you said that if you even suspected that you might have the virus, you wouldn't go and get tested.
I think you have to be responsible and go and do that if you suspect that you had it. But you can also just quarantine and just, you know, stay away from other people.
Well, I say that because I spoke to two family members over the weekend who both said the same thing as well. And I thought, no, you need to go and test it. Need to go and get tested. And they said, why? Because I'll go and get tested. I find out then definitely I have it. But what can hospitals or medical personnel do for me?
Or worse, they decide they're going to put you in some government facility. Please.
Someone said that as well. They said, I don't want to be stuck at F&B Stadium. That, like,
hell
seeing
no.
Other people sick and dying, that will screw with my mind.
Hell no.
If I am not a horrible case, then rather just still stay home.
No.
Everyone who currently has it is talking about getting some vitamin C stuff and steaming from home. So yeah, they just say they'll stay at home.
But what if you've had a family dinner and you've been in contact with, say, six people and
then
you find out you have
your family and you say to them, listen, guys, I think I've got it, and I think you all need to be aware of that. That's the responsible thing to do, and then you get on with your life and they get on with theirs, and you avoid each other for, what, 2 weeks?
Look, I haven't made my mind up around that, but, yeah, I think it's a good point to raise. What is the importance of going to get tested?
I do not trust the people who everybody else seems to trust. I do not believe that they have our best interests at heart. I really don't. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, that's okay. Eye-opening.
Yeah, I just want to move on because otherwise we'll be stuck on this all day, and there are other things happening in the world. But there's some interesting things to talk about this morning. That International Pentecostal Holiness Church thing.
Oh, geez.
The hostage
situation. What a shocker.
Yes, sir.
Can we get into that after 7? There's just so much going on there.
Sure we can. What a story. Yes, sir.
It's a mess.
That's like the story of the weekend. I don't care what anybody says. That's a humdinger.
Well, yeah. It's up there with Will and Jada.
Well, yes.
Will and Jada.
Wow, Will and Jada. Sure. Just give us the lowdown there again. So they've had an open relationship, and now there's this other dude who's in love with Jada. It's so messy.
What's made it worse this weekend?
So Jada has this Facebook talk show called Red Table Talk.
Yeah.
And so on Friday evening, I woke up to it on Saturday morning, woke up to an interview that she did with Will. It was about 12 minutes long, and they were just setting the record straight. If you really boil it down, it was a non-story. They were acknowledging the fact that they were separated a couple of years ago. And so in their separation, Jada had this relationship with the rapper August Alsina. And they ended that relationship. Will and Jada got back together, and that's it. But it was just the emotion in it, man. Will was pissed.
He was angry, huh?
Oh, he was hiding his pissedivity. In my opinion, because he said things like, yeah, you're lucky I'm talking to you still. It's a miracle that I'm talking to you right now. I'm thinking, Will, so you were really pissed. And he
if you were a husband to a woman that you loved and you separated, but you still loved each other and you got back together and she's suddenly like talking to everybody about this.
Then don't do the interview, because right now the interview was meant to be we're all together, rah rah, aren't we just united front? Yeah. And then he said things like, well, yeah, and then I'm still going to pay you back for that. And it's like, no, it's not tit for tat. It was just a relationship when we were separated. But now the new word that everyone is going on about is entanglement, because that's what Jada said she was in. She wasn't in a relationship, she was in an entanglement with this August Alsina. Anyway,
the bottom line is,
as Will and Jada said at the end of the interview, they said, we ride together, we die together. Bad marriage for life.
Oh, nice. Okay, you know how adult that is, actually, like bad marriage for life? Like, you know how many people are stuck in bad marriages? Seriously. Very, very unhappy people in bad marriages, and they don't know what to do. I mean, marriage is such a hard thing. Leanne, you've been married before. Sia and I haven't. But there's so many variables. There's so much that can go right, so much that can go wrong. And people are so judgy about other people's marriages.
Man, it's bad. Because as well, just hearing Jada refer to August as Og the whole time. Yeah, Og and I.
Oh,
you know, it's like a term of endearment. It's like, And then I couldn't help but think, if the tables were reversed slightly, if it was Will who had a relationship with his 21-year-old son's friend, imagine if it was a younger girl. Would we have the same reaction?
No, it would have been totally different.
Thank you. Would have been Will Smith, this bit of a predator, sussing out kids in his home now.
Can't keep it in his pants.
Mm-hmm.
Broke his own marriage. He's such a good woman.
I don't know, hey? I honestly, I don't know. Because to me, I'm not assigning blame here. That's not what I'm looking for. And I think we've got to a point where we treat men and women the same. And I think that's a good thing.
I think we're getting there, but we're not there yet.
Well, it sounds to me like you two are almost saying that it's harder for a guy. It's just as tough for a girl.
Oof, no.
You think it's hard?
I think it is harder for a guy. In this case, in this instance, yes.
All right.
But bottom line, Will should have at least just shaved.
He looked like a mess?
Yeah, he should have just blinked a little to mask his tears away.
Oh, wow.
I thought he was going to break down and cry at any point. Then, of course, the internet doesn't waste any moment. They're like, oh, well, I can't wait for next month in this 2020 mess, because when Will is stuck in a whole month of August.
That is so mean. Jeez. People are horrible.
That's the whole thing in this, is that people are horrible. It's people and their perceptions that are making it difficult or awkward.
I love that there are ordinary people all over the world who are like injecting themselves suddenly into Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's relationship, making it about them. You know,
it's what we do. If it's not the Kardashians.
People, it's not just celebrities. I mean, people do this with their friends. They're like, oh, you know, Tom and Jane, they've been dating for a long time, but now they're broken up. And like Jane came and she told me all the stories about Tom, and then Tom was like crying, and then Tom told me all the stories about Jane. You're like, what are you talking about, you fucking loser? It's not your relationship.
I wonder what the psychology is behind that. We need to like...
I know what the psychology behind it is.
Go on, Nia.
Whatever.
The psychology behind it is that we do this as human beings, and it comes naturally to us, because it's all part of one thing, and that's distracting ourselves until we die.
All right, let's get to some headlines.
That's what's your dose of optimism. Yeah.
Ourselves some more. Cape Town law enforcement have apprehended two suspects in possession of more than 150 kilograms of stolen copper cables. The goods have an estimated scrap value of only 13,000 rand.
Oh, my goodness. It's a lot of work for such a little bit of money.
Mm. Well, this is also why, you know, copper is not the most expensive metal, but yeah, people will, if they've got nothing, and if your economy is as depressed as ours is, people will go and take the time to dig up cables and steal the copper, even if it's only going to get them 13,000 rand.
Yeah, for sure. The will to survive is strong.
And the places they steal it from are usually these cell phone towers. So the people who bear the cost are the cell phone networks and their insurers, because they have to have these things insured. So it's this situation where, you know, I wish people would just wake up in the morning and not take stuff that wasn't theirs. Whether they're in government, whether they're thieves out in public, if you take stuff that isn't yours, I wish lightning would strike you. We could just be done with this shit. Anyway, there were male suspects inside their vehicle. They responded, said they worked for a scrap metal dealer, but the owner of the business refuted the claim. The officials checked the vehicle and discovered copper cable of two major cell phone service providers. So they've arrested these people, and they will look into the business as well, because that sounds suspicious, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Don't be suspicious.
Did you have power cuts over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I had scheduled and unscheduled cuts.
You see, if I wanted to have parties on the weekend, I couldn't, because the power cuts happened at precisely the time you would have had dinner. It was between 5 and 7:30. So I had Friday and Saturday, I was sitting in the dark between 5 and 7:30 with candles around me like it's the 1500s. And again, I was like, this is not as, you know, government had this incredible gift of lockdown, during which time businesses were running at minor capacities. There was nowhere near the amount of usage of power that they usually have. And that was the time to fix things. And what did they do? Squandered it. Because supposedly the reason we're going through load shedding now is because there are national grid and consumption levels that they can't keep up with. So, sorry guys. It's your fuck up, not ours.
Yeah.
We're paying for electricity and you can't provide it.
Yeah, I kind of feel it's horrible as well, because I'm on prepaid electricity, and I kind of think, you've got my money already, bitches. Yeah. But I had scheduled and unscheduled, And then when I was supposed to have load shedding, nothing happened. So on, I think it was Friday night. Friday night, I'm scheduled to go off at 8. So I light some candles, put them onto the fireplace, make sure the floors are cleared of any tripping hazards. Shit, yeah. Make sure all the heaters are off so that they don't go on again, and all of this sort of thing. And I'm sitting waiting, watching the last bit of TV that I can.
And what do you do during the power failure?
Well, let me tell you what happened just before. So I'm literally waiting for the lights to go out and for everything to go completely dark. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about crime, worried about things like that. Uh-huh. And the next minute, out the corner of my eye, I see something enormous.
No.
Falling. Now, I've got extra height ceilings. Falling from the ceiling and crashing to the ground in the dining room. God. Crashing.
What was it?
It was all the thoughts going through my head. I'm thinking, is this a man that has fallen through the ceiling?
Jesus.
The killer.
And then I managed to pull it together and take a proper look. And because of that horrendous wind we were experiencing, my trapdoor cover actually dislodged itself and fell from the ceiling. But if I was sitting there, I would have been in hospital.
Yeah.
I was just a few meters away.
And then
away.
Cyril would have blamed alcohol for that.
Yeah.
All right, well.
And then load shedding didn't happen, so I blew out the candles and carried on watching.
Look, I don't mean to be this person to bring it up, but think about the ramifications of load shedding in our current situation. Firstly, a lot of us are working from home. With load shedding, I now essentially have a standard PC again, because I'm just constantly plugged in going, oh my gosh, imagine what's going to happen. So a lot of people are going to be affected by not being able to work from home. And then secondly, think about these businesses who already were struggling because of lockdown. Mm-hmm. And now they're open and they have to deal with no power. So people are having to invest in backup sources of power. And that wasn't in their budgeting.
Well, my sister went to the shops on Saturday and there was load shedding at that shopping center. And she said it was just chaos. It was pandemonium. Shops were closing. Alarms were going off. It was just an absolute mess. There were queues everywhere. No social distancing. So this is what happens when you have an incompetent, incapable government. And yet there are people running around going, let's listen to Cyril. Do me a favor. It's like that. What you are is you are the child of an abusive parent. If you think like that, that's what you are. Because this guy and his government are busy abusing you day in, day out. They've done nothing for you. They're expecting you to pay them taxes, and you still rely on them for comfort and for succor and for safety. You're an idiot.
Please, I would love to hear from someone who says they're having a fantastic 2020.
Yeah, please, what a strike to zero. Okay, so you know that Iranian plane crash, that Ukrainian jet that went down after leaving Tehran Airport? 176 people on board were killed when the plane was hit by two missiles. So apparently, after Western intelligence officials said evidence pointed to Iranian involvement, the country admitted fault, saying it had mistaken the plane for a cruise missile. The president of Iran, that moron, described it as an unforgivable mistake. The Ukraine airline was downed on the 8th of January amid heightened tensions between Iran and America. So they've done some investigations into this. A full version of the report has not been made publicly available, but excerpts have been published by the state news agency, so believe it if you want to. Apparently the plane traveled in a normal flight corridor, but the air defense unit had targeted it and had recently moved and failed to calibrate its equipment correctly. As a result, it misidentified the civilian plane as a hostile object. So they shut down and killed all these innocent people in Iran because they thought it was a missile.
Mistakes happen?
Sure, mistakes happen, but in a dumb country like Iran, run by dumb people like that Ayatollah and his friends, that's gonna happen.
It's like something out of a movie plot.
How embarrassing. For those people in Iran who aren't dumb, and there are a ton of them stuck with this idiot government. Anyway, then while we're talking about idiots, Remember that New Zealand mosque shooter, that lunatic?
Yes.
He's an Australian man, but he pleaded guilty to killing 51 Muslim worshippers at New Zealand's worst mass shooting in 2019. He's decided to represent himself. So here's another idiot doing idiot things.
Another brain surgeon.
Yeah, but good, because then we can just see him sentenced to the maximum. Because that's what's going to happen. He pled guilty early this year to 51 charges of murder. He seems completely unapologetic, too. He's decided to represent himself, and it would not affect the sentencing hearing, which begins on the 24th of August. The judge approved Tarrant's request in a pretrial video call after he was satisfied that he understood his rights to have legal representation and decided to waive that right.
Would you ever consider representing yourself?
No.
What?
I mean,
absolutely not.
This just confirms that he's completely nuts.
Lawyers have this saying. They say only a fool has himself for a client.
Yeah.
So, you know, this guy's clear. Look, we know he's a dangerous sack of shit anyway, but he's also a fool. So add that to his charge sheet. The first federal execution in the United States for more than 17 years is set to go ahead on Monday. The execution of convicted murderer Daniel Lewis Lee had been blocked on Friday by a federal judge. This came
Is it Daniel Day-Lewis's cousin?
I don't think they're related.
All right.
saying they feared attending in person could expose them to coronavirus, but the government appealed and the injunction was overturned. They are taking this to the Supreme Court. Lee is a one-time white supremacist who tortured and killed a family of three before dumping their bodies in a lake. Jesus. Really great human being this as well, huh? They have opposed his family have opposed his execution by lethal injection. It would shame my daughter that someone has to die.
So what he didn't shame your daughter?
Has the shame not already occurred?
Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, so apparently the families of the people he killed are also trying to oppose this. They don't want him killed.
Oh, okay.
Why? Oh, because maybe it's an easy way out for him?
I don't know. It sounds loony. Anyway, I'm just that there are still people around who will kill a whole family and dump them in a lake.
Mm-mm.
Horrible. So those are the headlines. Sorry, it's not great news this morning.
Yeah, tough times, hey?
Jesus.
Jeez.
Mm. Hey, what
can you do?
What happened to Lady Antebellum changing their name? Because they were so woke that they decided that, I mean, you name yourself this, and they clearly had no idea that Antebellum meant before the war in the South, mm-hmm. right? The Antebellum South is the pre-Civil War South of the United States.
Surely they must have known, because
it's
not a term that gets thrown around a lot.
When you name your band, you look it up.
Yes.
You'd think, first, right?
Google it and see if anyone else mm-hmm. has called
Someone's going to ask you in an interview, in your first moment of success, they're going to go, oh, why did you call yourself Lady Antebellum? They didn't bother Absolutely. To look it up. So anyway, they've decided to change their name, and they're calling themselves what? Lady A, right. But the problem is there's an actual black singer who's performed under that name for 20 years.
Oh, no, you're kidding mm-hmm. me.
And so now they're going to – the reason that they didn't want to be called Lady Antebellum is because that's politically incorrect now. You know, you're identifying yourself with the Confederate South, which was pro-slavery. So that's why you have to change your name from Antebellum. Now they're actually going after and suing a black singer who's had this name for 20 years. Talk about racist. Yep. Jesus.
Do you
what it means.
Just love this? Don't you just love how, because they're so perfect and they were trying to make this happen, well, lo and behold, look at them now. So
when they originally
changed their name a few weeks ago, I think they then got the reaction of like, hold up, wait a minute, there's this lady, her real name is Anita White. She's based in Seattle in the U.S. Uh-huh. And she uses...
Oh, but hang on. Her name's Anita White in all of them.
Aha!
I'm more confused.
Her real name is Anita White, based in Seattle in the U.S. But she's been using the name Lady A for 20 years, performing as a blues singer.
Right.
So Lady Antebellum, well, formerly Lady Antebellum, noted this, and then they got into contact with Lady A, and they're like, no, okay, let's have Zoom meetings. They got a couple of Zoom meetings together, and they ended up coaxing her, saying, it's fine, we accept you as a real Lady A, and they said, you know, let's actually make some music together. The real Lady A now came out saying, it's been a couple of weeks. They've asked me to be silent about this, but now they're actually taking me to court. They're trying to swindle the name away from me. And the band has filed a trademark lawsuit against her. And they're saying, this is not happening at all. So and Anita White is asking the public to help her with this.
You've got my vote, Anita White. If I had
How
money, I'd
insane.
Send it your way.
It's wow. just stupid.
Jeez.
Like, the definition of so woke and so perfect, they're now swindling this lady and, like, trying to get her name out of it. Well, now, encountering this lawsuit, Anita is demanding they pay her $10 million US dollars in order to use her name.
That's great. Good. Hand over your money, you idiot. Oh, I love it.
She and her team have demanded a $10 million US dollar payment, so reluctantly we have come to the conclusion that we need to ask a court to affirm our right to continue to use the name Lady A trademark we have held for many years.
I'm never really a conspiracy theorist, but what if this whole thing was planned? Because, let's be honest, when last did we hear very much from Lady Antebellum?
No, I told you there was that one time I went to that place in Jeffreys Bay. when I was still DJing, and there was an Afrikaans singer on before me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because I had to DJ the party afterwards, and there was this Afrikaans singer, and he did a cover version of that Lady Antebellum. And I need you now. That
yes.
One, you know, that song. And it was so shit. That was the last time I heard Lady Antebellum.
Yes, exactly.
That was the last time I paid attention to Lady A.
Dummies. I just feel like everyone must just shut up in 2020. Let's just all keep quiet. Let's reassess our lives.
I agree.
What a mess. Damn it.
Who knows when we'll come out of all of this.
Well, we will. We will. Despite all of this stuff, you'll be fine. We'll survive.
Yeah, we've survived a lot worse.
Well,
coronavirus is a blip on the radar compared to the size of viruses and horrible things
that
happened.
That is true. And you know, we've got to keep some perspective in all of this madness, because if you don't, God alone knows, you know, nobody will.
God alone. That's it.
Keep your shit together.
I saw a great meme over the weekend, someone saying, man, once 2020 has wrapped, we have the right to now include this year in the Bible with all of the great disasters.
That is so good.
Yeah, we've earned the right.
We're in the Bible now, because this year, you're... What a
mess. So what happened in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, mm-hmm. and there were locusts and whatnot, add 2020 in there as well.
Correct. We'll take the... Moses, step back. We've got good reason to be upset here.
We've outdone you.
Yeah. Load shedding, it's protest.
I reckon even Moses is looking at this shit going, this is unbelievable. Wow, what a story.
He's watching it like a TV show from his sofa with popcorn.
I had burning bush and all that shit, nothing compared to you people. You people got some serious shit going down.
So what did you guys do when there was load shedding this week, when you're indoors and have load shedding?
I made a fire and I just sat in front of the fire like early man.
Like a seasoned gentleman.
I sat there like early man carving shit out of stone. That's what I did. I mean, what else are you going to do, right?
Yeah, there's very little.
I mean, it was bizarre. I just sat there like in front of the fire watching the flames, and you know, my phone still had battery, so I was like going online and checking shit out there, but I felt really stupid. I felt like I felt so dumb sitting there and not being able to do, couldn't make any food. And I was walking around using the torch on my phone as well, so my battery was going down pretty quickly. I was like, this shit better end by 7:30, otherwise I'm in big trouble.
I've got quite a few friends who were very avid campers, and they have found their equipment being so useful during lockdown times.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like what sort of equipment?
Little gas heaters and gas stoves and You know, it's like glamping in your own home.
See, it's like that shit I've never used in my life.
Never. So I really don't even know. Look, I know it's not the best thing in the world to be stuck in this situation, but I was sort of grateful when we were cut during the day. There was nothing else for me to do but to sit and read. So I thought, I've never read so much in a while. Because my phones were off, I couldn't talk to anyone, I couldn't, you know, go anywhere. So
were you reading smacks here?
Yes. No, I'm actually reading a great, great book right now.
What is it? Now we all want to know. Is it an Oprah recommendation?
Okay, well.
No. Yes, it's an Oprah recommendation.
Well, the Oprah book is one of the books that I just have on standby. Okay. This one is called The Wisdom of Sundays. No, but the business book I'm reading is called Do, Fail, Learn, and Repeat.
Okay. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, just learning from your mistakes and how to move and make smarter business choices.
Are you learning from your mistakes?
Yeah, what terrible business mistakes have you made, Sia?
What have you done, Sia?
Never invest in those exes that I did. They're a waste of my time and my energy.
And money.
Now they're smutty people.
Have you guys ever been in relationships where you've spent a lot of money on the other person or perhaps traveling to get to them?
No.
And regretted.
No.
No.
I've just spent a lot of energy, which is nonsense.
I did, like, there were a couple of holidays where I paid for the girlfriend, and I regret that.
Yeah, otherwise you would have been on holiday by yourself, right?
Well, which is fine, by the way.
Yeah, I know that too.
I have no problem with a holiday on my own. None. Zero. But I think, you know, we all make really dumb mistakes and we all do stupid stuff sometimes, but you can't regret things like that. The minute you start regretting, oh no, you know, I've spent money on this person, then, because that's money that's down the tube. You're not going to get that back. It's not like, you know, an investment.
Unless you're Mariah Carey and you can file for an inconvenience fee.
Yeah, well, Mariah Carey's a disaster, Sia. When it comes to human beings, I mean, she's a great musician, but she's a mess of a human being. She really is. I don't know. You can't regret certain things. It's not worth regretting. It's just too much effort, and it's just going to make you unhappy, you know?
Bitter and twisted.
Yeah, you don't want to be those people, those bitter and twisted people. You don't want to be them. Stay away from that kind of thing. It's not good for you. All right, we've got a couple of other things we've got to get to this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about this mad situation with the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. These church names are extremely long. Why do they all have to have five words in them?
Because there's so many of them that
you don't know which
all the names have been taken.
Jesus.
Also has to be so highfalutin and airy-fairy.
Well, maybe people do, otherwise they won't believe. You know,
doesn't sound legit.
Yeah, it's got to be super complicated, and then Jesus knows it's for real. You know,
it's like in posh society, you need to have middle names and things.
No, you need to have 17, a triple barrel name in order to be serious about yourself. Ghislaine Maxwell, there's some nice developments there. Apparently, she is singing like a canary at the moment.
Oh.
And this is interesting. It turns out that she has been. The whole time that she was in New Hampshire in that house that she bought, they were watching her and they were listening to her interactions with other people.
Uh-oh.
And they just kept away for like 2 years so that they could gather more information.
Oh, that's clever.
Isn't that clever? And it turns out like she might actually be in cahoots with the police on some of this stuff. So this is bad news for all her collaborators. They're going to be some big names that are going to fall apparently.
Yeah, because I suppose the more she sings about, the less time she'll get.
Correct. So she's probably going to hand over a lot of information. Let's see what happens. Very exciting. Exciting times in the world of Ghislaine Maxwell. I'm so glad you taught me how to pronounce her name. Now I'm lording it around people who don't. So when someone says her name wrong, I'm like, excuse me.
What did Damon say?
You said, he calls her Ghislaine.
No. Jizz Lane.
Yeah, sorry, Jizz Lane. So now when people say Gizlane or Jizlane or whatever else, I'm like, excuse me, it's Ghislaine. And they're, oh, really? I didn't know. And then
that's,
I feel
so much easier to say.
Yeah, I feel so superior then.
Oh, Leanne, no, I really actually hoped you were with Damon on that show last week, because he also was pronouncing Liberace's name as
Liberace.
Yeah. I could have told you that before you even heard it coming from him. If you said to me, how would Damon pronounce Liberace?
Liberace.
Easy. It's like his mom is Naomi, not Naomi.
Naomi.
And he couldn't actually tell the difference. He couldn't tell why.
No, we said to him, C and I, we're like, Damon, say it. And he was like, Liberace, but it sounds the same.
Yeah, it's also a cultural thing where you break down the syllables. Also, like if you look at Afrikaans speakers, instead, so English speakers will often put in a Y in between two syllables that don't flow into each other easily.
Give me an example, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's take Naomi. Let's take Naomi.
Okay.
There are two syllables in there, Na and Omi.
Uh-huh.
And how do we join them as English Naomi. Speakers? With a Y, okay. Naomi.
Yes.
It's very popular in the Jewish culture and some parts of northern Johannesburg.
Yes.
Where you will break it completely and not put in any.
Naomi,
Liberace.
Oh, I got. Okay, then, I see.
And then you have Afrikaans speakers who generally might put in an H.
Naomi.
Yes, or Lori Hell. Like we would say Lori Yell. But we put in that Y.
Okay, I see what you mean. All right.
This is such a great observation.
Menstruation, we put in a W to join menstrue and Asian. But Damon might say menstruation.
Yes, he would.
Eliminating any middle letter.
And
Afrikaans people might say menstruation.
Yes, you're right. That's so interesting. What would you call that? Conjoining vowels. Interesting. You're a linguist.
Not necessarily vowels. Yes, I am a linguist. And from here, I can see the study of linguistics book in my bookshelf.
Really?
I studied it at Varsity.
You love this stuff, huh?
Mm. I do.
This is great.
I do love it.
Mm. All right. Well, we've got to get on with it. We've got lots to do this morning, and you are part of our little carriageway of fun. And we're heading towards 8 o'clock this morning, but it's already 7:02. So we've got to get on with it. We can't sit here all morning just talking nonsense.
7:02. Oh,
it's two past seven in the morning. Don't get excited. All right.
Just,
very good.
Just gone three now.
There we go. 7:03. So nobody's confused. And there's lots to talk about. We'll take your messages and your calls and your thoughts on 0797482090. Let us know what you're up to this morning. Very keen to hear what you have to say. And if you've got some really, really enthusiastic and interesting stuff to talk to us about, then you can send us a video as well, because sometimes that's the best way to communicate. CliffCentral.com.